Welcome, everyone, to the Outer Gaming County Executive Candidates Forum. I'm thrilled to be able to have it in this space at the UW Fox Valley because this is a shared facility with the state of Wisconsin, Winnebago County, and Outer Gaming County all sharing in funding. So we have some questions concerning that this evening. We've noticed that all of our Supreme Court candidate flyers with a question and answer from the candidates running for Supreme Court in this primary are all gone. You can go to the Appleton League of Women Voters website, though, if you're still interested or if you want to share this with some other people that you know. It's at www.lwvappleton.org, and you'll find those question and answers on that site. And I also think it's not going to hurt us to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I know those of us who were here earlier started with that, but as a filler, and it's just celebrating where we're coming from. So let's just do this again. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. As I said before, my name is Beth English. I'm the Voter Service Chairperson of the Appleton League of Women Voters. Tonight she'll have an opportunity to meet candidates Charles Kramer, Ann Stroh, Mike Marsden, Tom Nelson, Mike Thomas, and Jack Boyd running for County Executive. The position of county executive is required in Milwaukee County and is optional in all other Wisconsin counties. The county executive is elected to a four-year term. The office of county executive consists of an elected executive, a deputy executive administrator, and executive administrative assistant, who are all responsible for the general operations within the setting of the chief executive officer of a $160 million plus service corporation. I think it's a little higher than this. I took this from the county's website. The county executive's duties and powers include coordinating and directing the administrative and management functions of the county government, appointing and supervising county department heads, and appointing members of both boards and commissions. The county executive spends time each day communicating with federal and state legislators, local community leaders, and community board members, in addition to correspondence with concerned citizens. The Appleton League of Women Voters, Project Promise, Appleton Public Library, and the University of Fox Valley are happy to present this forum so you may become better acquainted with the six candidates. When you go to the polls, you know that you have chosen the candidate who can represent your interests. This format is being taped this evening by the University of Fox Valley, and it will be available for checkout at the Appleton Public Library, and we're working with Time Warner to have it fit into their schedule so you can find it on Time Warner cable at local access channel. Welcome to all to stay after the forum if you didn't get a chance to talk to your candidates during the break. We'll begin with each candidate, Charles Kramer, Ann Strock, Mike Marsden, Tom Nelson, Mike Thomas, and Jack Boyd in alphabetical order, which I can't alphabetize, giving a one-minute introduction. Candidates have been given copies of the question, and then after the moderator asks the question, each of the candidates will have 2 minutes for a response. Candidates will alternate being the first to answer. At the conclusion, each candidate will have 1 minute for a closing statement. The closings must be issues-based, not used as an opportunity for personal attacks or charges. Time limits on responses will be enforced, and our timekeeper sitting down here in front, she'll indicate time remaining and time to stop. And the candidates will not interrupt each other. We expect to have a civil discussion of the issues this evening, and so we ask that you refrain from applauding or demonstrating support or non-support for your candidate. And please silence your cell phones and pagers and refrain from just general distractions. So with that, we're going to offer an opportunity to all each of our candidates to have an opening statement, and we'll start with Charles Kramer.
Good evening. I'd like to thank the organizations for inviting me here. A little bit about me, lifetime resident of Allegheny County, born and raised on a dairy farm. I got 10 years of experience as a town chairman, Town of Freedom, 7 years on the county board, and I'm presently the vice chair of the finance committee.
Thank you. Ann Strzok?
So Charlie left me 30 seconds more, so I have a minute and a half, right? Since 1999, or 95 actually, I've been mentored by some of the best community leaders there are. I've been mentored by Scullin, Milkey, Fenlon, Kniesel, Sager, Myers, and that has made a big difference in my life and led me to where I am today. I'm a graduate of the Fox Cities Chamber Leadership Academy. I've successfully chaired several committees, one being the Fox Cities Community Advisory Board, which was I was appointed to by the DA. I was elected and served as a member of a national board for my professional association. I was president of a business managing from 4 to 40 employees, so I have managed employees with the carrot of a paycheck, and I've also managed hundreds without the carrot of a paycheck being volunteers. And yes, I've had to fire a volunteer, and that's not an easy thing to do. I have a BBA in business administration with an emphasis on economics, and associate degrees in marketing and in real estate. I've served on the Board of Education in Appleton while during our fiscally really responsible development years of charter schools and our volunteer programs. My ability to serve you, I believe, is only surpassed by my passion to serve you. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Morrison.
For 40 years, I was the Director of Public Works, either in Allegheny or worked in Rock County. For 16 years, I've been the chairman of the township of Grand Chute. 2 years, I was an alderman in the city of Appleton. I served as a founding member of the board of directors for the Performing Arts Center. I served as a director on the Allegheny County Historical Society, on the board of directors for the Allegheny County 4-H. I've worked with every unit of government in Allegheny County, was instrumental in plotting and constructing the county, Tri-County Expressway, and worked with all the communities that would be affected by it. And I've had a solid working relationship with every unit of government in Allegheny County over my career.
Thank you. Mr. Tom Nelson.
My name is Tom Nelson, and I was in the legislature for 6 years, representing about one-third of Allegheny County, based in Conum, a group in Little Chute. And we are at a point right now for which I think the decisions made in the next 4 years are going to have a long-standing impact on the citizens of our county. And we'll be talking about this more. And a big part of the county budget comes from the state. And it's going to be incumbent upon the next county executive to fight tooth and nail to make sure that our county receives its fair share. The best person, I believe, to be in that position to effectively lobby to make sure we get our fair share of dollars is a former legislator. I was in the legislature for 6 years and 2 years served as the assembly majority leader. That comprises about 20-25% of the overall budget. So I look forward to discussion and look forward to the questions.
Thank you. Mr. Mike Thomas?
Hi, my name is Mike Thomas. Just a little bit of my background. I was an Air Force Academy graduate and a pilot in the U.S. Air Force for about 5 years. Did two tours in Vietnam. After that, I went with Procter & Gamble in Green Bay for about 12 years. 2 years with Tilmany International Paper in Kaukauna, and then various other management assignments, including my last assignment as CEO and president of a small company, a small manufacturing firm. So I understand business, my background is business. However, I also had 14 years on the county board, chairman of finance my last term. In fact, my last 3 terms was on the finance committee. My first 4 terms were basically on the Health and Human Services Committee. I sat through all the budgets, even though I wasn't on the board the last 2 years, and got myself up to speed. I think you're going to have some good business practices to bring into the county, as well as the county experience for this next county executive. I look forward to serving you, and look forward to answering any questions that are coming up in the next series. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And finally, Mr. Jack Voigt.
Good evening. Thank you for attending this informative debate or forum. I was born and raised in Allegheny County and lived on a dairy farm until I was 15 years old. From then on, I basically been on my own. But certainly, I graduated from New London High School in UW-Oshkosh. And after that, I had a tour of duty in Vietnam, both in Vietnam and Cambodia, all places. But certainly after that, I came back, was a claim adjuster for 3 years, and then started my insurance business in 1974. I'm married, have two daughters. We have two daughters. My wife, Marty, has been a teacher in Appleton for 39 years. And we have three grandchildren. Certainly, I have been in business for 37 years and served the public as well on the city council for 10 years and also as state treasurer of Wisconsin for 12. I've interacted with all levels of government, including three different administrations, both Republican and Democrat in Wisconsin. So therefore, I believe with my experience, I can help the citizens of this county. Thank you.
Thank you. As I said before, we'll alternate who answers the questions. So this one will start with Ann Strock. UW-Fox is at an all-time record enrollment. With continued growth, the enrollment will exceed the campus's current physical space. As the Outagamie County Executive, how would you respond to a request for expansion of the campus facilities? And if an expansion is concerning, what alternative would you propose?
Well, I'm willing to listen to people on this, but I do believe that originally this campus was built for a two-year education to move people into a four-year education at one of our major campuses. I do understand the importance of working with businesses and being able to get a possible four-year degree from here, but I think right now, with the way our budget is and everything else, that we need to stop and look at that and maybe not consider at this time anything with four-year degrees and going back to the original mission of our two-year campus, moving into the four-year campus. Also, I believe as the economy picks up, possibly education will slow down. I don't know if that's a positive in this case or not, probably not, but it's a possibility. And, you know, when you're saying if we do have to expand, some things that are happening with other colleges, they're doing alternative sites. They go to alternative sites, and that's an option that we can do, too, while we're fighting the budget crisis as we are. Thank you.
Now, Mr. Mike Marsden.
Well, in reference to the college, I believe that capital plan is most imperative. I think that the county executive needs to stay in touch with representatives of the college and to determine space needs, look for alternative opportunities. However, I believe that any expansion or any improvements to the facility should be through a approved capital plan so that we can, as this project would have to compete with highways, the sheriff's department, and all others, so that they understood where we're at as regards to planning for expansion that would be in line with the needs of the community.
Thank you. Mr. Nelson?
As far as the question about Tom expansion, it'd be a little ways down my list. I think the first thing to do is to question the assumptions. The way that this question is phrased, it says, with continued growth, the enrollment will exceed the campus's current physical space. And I think Ann mentioned this too. I mean, we know that in a down economy, that's the point at which enrollment in educational institutions is at an all-time high. So I think the first thing to do is to question the assumptions and make sure that we understand we have good data that is mapping out the trajectory of that kind of enrollment. So that's number one, to look at the assumptions and then to pinpoint precisely whereabouts in the future we would expect to deal with those physical needs. Number two, I think if you look around the Fox Valley, we are blessed with a lot of physical space and facilities. I think if you look anything from, you know, Fox Valley Tech to UW-Oshkosh, UW-Green Bay, Lawrence, I think that it's worthwhile to look at what kind of a space availability there is at similar institutions. So that's number two. Number three, I think this also allows for an opportunity for us to look at what type of opportunities we have to work with local government, with our state representatives, the federal legislators, and so forth. So I think if you look at, and this is really, I mean, and you could apply this to really any type of economic or financial challenge. I mean, our community is very, very blessed with resources. So I think it makes a lot of sense to look exactly what we have first before we look at any type of expansion.
Thank you. Mr. McThomas.
Yes, first of all, I have to congratulate the UW-Fox for an excellent growth. I've watched it grow. My daughter went here for 1 year, a very good bargain for the money, prepared her very well for going on. Actually, the courses here are a lot tougher than if you go down to Madison or UW-Platteville and all the rest. So I think the program is excellent, and I really value education because it draws companies, it draws people to this area, and I think that's a part of the whole equation. But it's got to take its place in priorities with everything else in the county. The environment is changing and changing rapidly. The state will be cutting us in shared revenue, and we have to take a look at just where all our expenses are. Bricks and mortar are very expensive, and we put a lot of money with Winnebago County into this facility in bricks and mortar. There's some alternatives you can take a look at, like we do in the private sector. You can take a look at, when I was with Procter & Gamble up in Green Bay, we utilized St. Norbert for all of our master's program courses. I only had to go down to Oshkosh for two courses of all my 4 years. I think we should take a look at doing something similar to that. I disagree with the fact that we shouldn't look at maybe some four-year situations. The Platteville Engineering Project here has been an excellent success. It has drawn more people into this area. It has been a bargain for the parents that are sending their kids to school versus sending them out of state or even downstate to UWM. So I would look at that because that saves people money, and when people save money, they can spend money elsewhere. It's a value. But it has to take its place in priorities, and those will be very difficult priorities as this next county executive and this next board take a look at what's coming down the pipe from the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jack Boyd.
Thank you. That's a good question for our community, I think, because economic development is important, and part of economic development is education. Good education drives jobs, drives a lot of things in our life. Certainly, I support ideas and projects, especially this project that is a capital improvement project that could create jobs for our community. Specifically, as Mike mentioned, the engineering program that's been in place here. We need other type of programs in this community to drive that type of development and also jobs for our community. I think it has a lot of opportunities in this area to do so. So I would support a capital improvement plan that would have a jobs component to it as to what expansion does create jobs. I think it would be a high priority for both Winnebago and Allegheny County to collaborate on a joint effort to provide that type of space, those needs for our community. So with that, I think that we will have a great opportunity in the future for this community.
Thank you. Mr. Charles Green.
I understand the importance of UW-Fox Valley. Over the last 2 or 3 years on the county board, I supported between $5 and $6 million for this college. But I think we're getting to the point where we can't keep going to taxpayers for all this money. Maybe one of the things we could do is get Kelly McConey on board. They've always kind of shunned us a little, but they have students coming, so they need to get on board with this. Maybe if there is expansions come up, maybe we need to look at, is there any endowment money available to offset some of the tax dollars? And maybe we shouldn't look at any new four-year programs, just keep the existing ones. Just some thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question will begin with Mr. Marsden. Many people think the county executive sets policy. However, the county board sets policy. Therefore, how would you work with the county board to implement the policies that set by the county board? And how would you work with the county board to get your ideas into policy?
Well, I think the question should be rephrased. I think that the first thing is the county executive should recommend to the county board policies that are going to affect Allegheny County, because he's the one that's going to have to implement those policies and see to it they're carried out. If it affects labor or if it affects growth or development, the county county executive is the one that should be working with the local units of government, communicating with our state legislators and other legislators to determine what policy would best serve us as a community. And then he should be carrying that information to the county board in hopes the county board would develop policy that will work on behalf of Allegheny County. it could be very difficult if the county board on their own set policy for the county executive to administer, only to find out that it won't work, and that therefore it's imperative that the county executives stay in contact with the county board at all times so they understand the needs of the community.
Thank you. Mr. Tom Nelson.
Having spent 6 years in the legislature, I've seen, you know, firsthand a pretty concrete example about how a legislative entity and the executive doesn't always work that well. In fact, there's never been a reputation, has not had a reputation of having a really strong, productive working relationship. And that goes for regardless of what party is in control of either House or the governor's office. However, here in Allegheny County, it's very different. And I think the kind of partnership, the kind of relationship that we have between the county board and the county executive is very unique, not just compared to what happens on Madison, but also what happens across the state in various counties. I think that that kind of relationship, that kind of partnership has served this county extremely well. So not only do I understand this historical precedent, but I also understand the value that it brings. I think if you look at the result, the kind of budgets, I think if you look at the kind of policies that the county board and the county executive has set and administered, I think it's been very, very productive. And you compare us to other counties, I think it's a very, very strong track record. So the question about how you would implement your policies and how the county board would implement its policies, I think the type of working partnership that already exists, I think, is a very strong precedent, one that I continue, that I plan to continue to work on. And I think it goes both ways. I think when you have an understanding from the county executive and understanding from the perspective of the county board, but also more importantly, that there is respect from both sides, that they respect the opinions and beliefs of each, I think you can find out in the end that both the county executive and the county board will be more productive in implementing each other's ideas. I think how you can do it from the perspective of a county executive, I think attend the meetings where you're welcome and where it makes sense, attend committee meetings as well as the board meetings, but also to encourage the county board members to also work with you and the various agencies that you're working with. So I think this isn't something that we need to recreate. I think it's already been done and done well, and I plan to continue along those same lines.
Thank you. Mr. Mike Thomas?
Yeah, I think, frankly, policy is probably a misnomer because most of the policies come down from the state, whether they're underfunded mandates in health and human services or other policies that the county is an extension of the state and has to follow that policy. I would equate policy really to priorities. And I think one of the things you failed to mention in detail about the explanation of the responsibility of the county executive is to have a budget and to create a budget. Now, I would do this in collaboration with the county board. I was on the county board, on finance. I know how it works. And I think you need to be in collaboration with them. 10 years ago, when I was on finance, I wanted to take 4 hours on a Saturday morning and basically set priorities and play a what-if game like you do in the private sector. What if we get cut $10 million? What would be your priority? It narrowly failed in 1917 because back then we were in pretty good shape. There was no recession. There was no hurricane that was coming upon us like it is right now. My first act, and if you take a look at my flyer, is I would have the collaborate with the county board to set priorities. I would say, I need to have what feeling from what your constituents feel are the priorities before I set the budget. That doesn't happen right now. Right now, the county executive sets that in a vacuum, and then it goes before the finance committee, and then they finally vote on it. But I think you need to get the county involved with the priorities. I have a very good relationship with a lot of members on the county board. I was on the county board for many years. And I see that as a partnership between the county executive and the county board to craft this budget, because it's going to be very, very difficult. If the money isn't going to be there, the state has no money. There's no stimulus money, no tobacco money, no lobbying from transportation funds, and the $3.3 billion in the hole. And it's coming downhill, and it's coming very fast with us. So I think that's exactly what I would do. I don't really call it policy, because I think very rarely does the county really get involved with what I would call strictly policy. That's more of a Madison situation. I think the priorities are what are important. When we set the budget, we have to have priorities. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jack Boyd?
The policy is also right here, in big terms, 607 pages, is the budget. And Mike is correct. County government is an extension of state and federal mandates and underfunded mandates. Certainly, there are 36 supervisors on the county board. They will occasionally bring a particular motion to the to the county board for approval, but certainly a lot of those things are driven by the state and federal mandates. And certainly, as county executive, I would work with the current administration, whoever is in charge, at the federal level and the state level. We need to work as a partner to create the opportunities we want in this county. Certainly, collaboration is important, visualization is important. I think those partnerships are important. But also, I think we need, as a county executive, needs to focus on the idea of working with the county board to look at long-term policy or long-term budget versus short-term as well. I think, as a good county executive, you need to listen, you need to hear what they're saying, and follow through, because we don't need discommunication. We need communication among everyone to make certain we're a functional county. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Charles Kramer?
I guess the first thing I'm going to do is talk to each committee chair, sell my thoughts to them, convince them I got the right thoughts, and we'll go to their committee. And we'll convince the committee that our thoughts are the right ones, and we will work this thing through as a team. There's no executive that will just rule this county board. The board does set policy. I think everybody ought to understand that. The board does set policy. I think the best thing is to work with the committee chairs, with the committee, be a team player, keep this thing as smooth as can be. Money's going to be tight and tough, and it's going to get real hard. And we can do it. It'll work. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Anstrom.
I do agree with Supervisor Kramer, Mr. Kramer on this one, as well as with Mike Thomas. As far as being in a vacuum right now, I think that's one change that we can do at our executive level, is to include the committee chairs in the budget process early on, and I think that will make a big difference. I have served with the board. I'm in my fourth term right now, and the last three terms, I've been elected to the appointment committee, and that's a very prestigious committee in that it assigns the members their committees for the next 2 years. And that shows that they have trusted me to do this over the last three terms, so it wasn't just once and booted out. And so I do have a good working relationship with this board, which I think is very important. I also have the support of the board chair, which is also important. And to be able to work with the board and the board chair is what we're going to need to do, because less vetoes, better government. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question will start with Tom Nelson. Economic development is a major priority for communities. What does the county have to do to contribute to economic development, and what should it do to ensure economic development for the future? Since the airport is a vital economic development, could you please speak to this as well?
Well, I think the days for which that you would divide out the private sector from the public sector, from the nonprofit sector, I think those days are gone. I can't think of a single economic development venture that does not have both a public and private aspect to it. So I think the county plays a very vital role in terms of that other half of the public sector half. But also within that sphere of the public sector, to also work well with villages and cities and townships and also state government and federal legislators is absolutely critical. I think that you can apply that template to any successful economic development project. That's number one. I think as far as concrete examples, I think the county can do a very good job in terms of making sure that we have a strong airport. It's clearly the gem. The jewel of this county in terms of economic development, but also to work with the neighboring counties and also the communities within our county to coordinate and to share space and to work with industrial parks and business parks. So I would address that in terms of economic development. The other way, too, is job one for the county executive. If you look at the kind of services the county provides, everything from health and human services to good roads, good bridges, infrastructure, safe communities through law enforcement and our sheriff's department, even though we might not necessarily associate those with economic development and job creation, I think they're absolutely vital in terms of maintaining our community's high quality of life. And that if you're going to want to attract jobs, if you're going to allow, if you're going to encourage businesses to expand, we need to make sure that we continue to deliver high quality services at the lowest possible price. I think that would go a long way, not just in what you need to do your job well as a county executive, but also go a long way in economic development and job creation.
Thank you. Mr. Mike Thomas?
Yes, I think economic development is very important. It's one of my five principles that I think the county has been a little bit lacking. I think the first point is you have to take a look at your current customers. I consider developers and businesses, especially small businesses, and I'm the CEO of a small business, as our current customers. How we treat those customers is very important. I've been talking with quite a few business people and going around in my door-to-door type of campaign, and I'm finding that I don't think our county is particularly business-friendly. We need to get more of an attitude of helping the businesses, the current businesses, stay here. I've had even some businesses tell me that, you know, if my family wasn't here, I'd be out of here in a heartbeat. And I really think that is a disservice. We want to keep the businesses we have. The other thing I think the county executive can be is a model. And to work with these companies, potential companies that will be coming in here. Now we have New North, we have Team Fox Cities, we have Take Your Pick, we have so many different economic development groups. I think the county executive needs to take an active role in that. I'll give you an example. Nestle just bought out Kraft about a year and a half ago in Wilshire and added 400 jobs. I can't find anybody in any economic development group that's been down to Chicago where the presence, the North American presence is for Nestle, to tell them, we're glad you're here. We're happy you're here. We like the jobs. We'd like to have more. Believe me, as a CEO, an ex-CEO, they respect that. But you have to have that passion to get down there and do it and work with the economic development groups. It's very important, especially with the new commerce department that is starting up, a privatized, partially privatized commerce department in the state. I think that's the right way to go. And I would partner with that group to bring more businesses in here. Because frankly, revenue increase is not taxpayer increase. It's businesses who hire people who pay more taxes. That's your revenue increase. And in the private sector, you have to keep it in regards to your expenses, but also your revenue stream. You used to have a saying in the private sector, sales is second only to air in order of importance. And in this case, revenue is very important for the economy.
Thank you. Mr. Jack Boyd?
Economic development is a critical point in my campaign for Outagamie County. And I've been in business for 37 years. Business is great jobs. Government doesn't. Government creates opportunities such as smart zoning, good planning throughout the county. Those type of things are important. But I think the county should get out of the banking business. We have a revolving loan fund of $70,000. I have a plan. I'm the only candidate that has a plan to help create jobs. It's only a partial plan, what Scott Walker is talking about, of creating 250,000 jobs in this entire state. But my plan is very simple. I think we need to find ways for small businesses to expand. And how to do that, they need access to capital. I'm proposing that I would be an advocate for a private, nonprofit lending authority to create capital. Access to capital is important. We have capital access, there'll be jobs created because of business expansions. Certainly, when we have that opportunity out there, counties can work on the behalf of business as an advocate. But certainly, I believe by having this opportunity that right now the current governor is looking for ways to create jobs, and he's looking for ideas. Certainly, it's only one idea, but there's other ideas out there that can help create more economic development in this entire county. Now, regarding the airport, it is a real jewel. Certainly, it has created jobs. But there's other industries that are related to the airport. A particular individual came to me the other day and says, right now the air industry is using robotics, for example. Why don't we have a robotic repair program out at the airport? That we should maybe explore that idea. I think we need ideas that are related to aircraft and air flights and everything else, because that is a particular industry we have going. And I think we have the space, we have the education in this community to help support that effort. Thank you.
Thank you. Charles Kramer?
Well, you know, we have New North Incorporated, and we have the Applin Chamber of Commerce. We've got a good foothold on this, trying to create jobs in the valley here. We need to be supportive of them. I think the airport is a fantastic place. Marty Lenz is doing an excellent job, just excellent. He's just got a great program out there, and I support him all along. And the great part about that is There is no tax dollars goes to that airport. It's self-funded by itself. That's the key probably to business coming to Apple or Allegheny County. What they see when they get there, that facility is going to help. Probably the best thing government can do is get out of the way. Most of the time, government's the problem.
Thank you. Ann Strzok?
You stole my thunder on that one, Charlie, but I believe that the county's role in economic development is not to throw millions of dollars to businesses. That's not the role, nor is it to be run just like a big business, which some people seem to think. It needs to be understood that it is not a big business. It's a mix. And so what can we do to become friendly for businesses? Well, we can become zoning friendly. We can look at our zoning policy, and we can work with the businesses when they want to come in to maintain a healthy living environment and to provide environmental conditions for entrepreneurship. We've got a great workforce here in the Fox Cities. We need to make that known. Maybe we have to make that known through branding our county and let them know what we have available here. We need to concentrate on the businesses that we already have here. Last spring, I went to a press conference for Foremost Foods, or Foremost Dairy, and they just had expanded, I believe, at the cost of about $43 million, but they brought on 35 new employees. 35 new employees that have a sustainable wage. This makes a difference. They also had 70 construction jobs available. We need to celebrate this. There's so many people that didn't even realize this was going on. We must continue to rally around our airport. That also is important, and that's something that I've supported from day one. Our airport is an economic engine for our area. People come here knowing that they can leave, knowing that, you know, they can have business travel and personal travel and come back. I've supported having the lowest landfill tipping charges in the state as well, and that helps cut the cost to businesses. Under my leadership, we'll have a working relationship with people and entities such as the chambers, such as the Fox City's economic development priority groups and partnerships. We will continue these kind of relationships and we'll build on them. And next, I embrace inclusiveness at the decision-making table, bringing people into the decision-making before the decision is done, bringing them to the table working with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Marsden?
Well, as chairman of the town of Grand Chute, I've had a lot of opportunities to work with businesses that want to come to our community. We've done everything we can to help them, providing excellent transportation corridors, a cheap tax environment for our community. But one of the things that when people come here, I ask them, why do you come to the Fox Cities? What would bring you here? Transportation, education, a quality workforce, a safe environment. These are the things they're looking for when they come to our community. And we've been able to offer all of those things. Unfortunately, Allegheny County has not been very proactive in assisting local units of government in this respect. They've sat back and taken more of a passive role and said, you know, you as local communities go out and get these businesses, bring them in, and we'll reap the tax benefits, but they've done very little to assist. And this is county executive, I would absolutely change that. I would make sure that the county, through its planning department, got much more proactive in economic development. It's absolutely imperative if we're going to grow as a community. In reference to the airport, it's an excellent facility. There's no doubt about it. However, we have to work to keep it as a very competitive marketplace because there's others right next door at Green Bay, only 30 miles away. And we have to stay competitive. And we have been working with the technical school, you know, to get a joint venture at the airport. And so there's a lot of opportunities out there, and we've only hit the tip of the iceberg in regards to economic development in Allegheny County.
Thank you. The next question will begin with Mike Thomas. In light of the current administration's priorities to balance the budget, it's apparent that health and human services programs will be severely affected. We focus on one area tonight, and that's mental health. Statistics show that 1 in 4 people has a mental health disorder. It's also noted that 45% of Allegheny County jail inmates have a mental disorder. In order to build a strong, healthy community, how will you go about preserving the services that address prevention, treatment, and support of individuals with mental health needs in this tight budget?
Thank you very much. Very good question. It's one of my personal priorities as far as when you prioritize things. It's public safety and health and human services. How a culture and a government is judged how they treat their young, how they treat their old, and the people that can't take care of themselves. Now, having said that, it's a priority. How you do it is a separate thing. The state has not been very gracious to us as far as giving us money in some of the underfunded mandates that we've had in the health and human services area. I think a lot of supervisors on the board realize that. I was on health and human services for 8 years. I realized that very, very greatly. That they just, and they're cutting it further and further. The cuts are going to be coming. I think that you have to take a look at doing something a little bit different. We cooperate right now, most of you may or may not know, with a lot of private sector, not-for-profits like Lutheran Social Services and Levin. We actually have a county employee at Levin that helps with the situation over there to bring patients in. So we need to do more of that in the community to utilize the private sector, Project Promise, these other areas that are very much more cost-effective. Been trying to do it totally as a county with an ever-shrinking revenue stream. I would entertain a whole bunch of different things that we can take a look at with the committee as far as how can we do this. We also have to start with analyzing our programs on a yearly basis and are they being effective. In the private sector, you call that zero-based budgeting. You start with a clean piece of paper each time and just don't add on to programs. We need to take a look at our programs to see if they are effective. Work with the committees and as a county executive, budget appropriately because these funds are going to be cut and we have to prioritize which ones we want to keep. Thank you.
Mr. Jack Boyd.
Thank you. The current budget has roughly about 40% of your tax dollars as you pay as a county resident towards mental and physical services for the county. But certainly at the senior level, certainly in Brewster Village, I support that program wholeheartedly. I think that senior citizens have paid for that service for the past number of years that they deserve to have that to continue as a service for this community. As for the younger generation and younger people, there are a lot of younger kids that these days have depression, and I think we need to work with schools to work out situations that will improve their state and life as well. Certainly, it is a big problem in our community of various mental health programs that need to be enhanced as well as to be reviewed and to work as a partner with nonprofits and to work with both federal and state agencies to avoid severe cuts in this area. I know they're probably coming, but your question doesn't really say what administration you're talking about at the federal level or state level, but certainly we're all part of a three-legged stool. We're from the federal, the state, and also the local area. We always have to be concerned about these areas that are in need for our community. And certainly I would be supportive of looking at ideas to work on ideas to provide better services for this area and for our county residents.
Thank you. Mr. Charles Kramer.
I think it's very important to have some really key, knowledgeable people in the leadership of these programs that really understand where the money's coming, where it's going. I don't think the executive is going to have the knowledge of how to run this program. This is going to be a tough program. This is a tough situation here. I think we need to work with the Health and Human Services Committee, those key people, and maybe part of our situation we can solve this and maybe alternatives to incarceration. Maybe that's a way of reducing some of the expense. Not 100% sure, but I think the key is going to be having the right people in the key positions in this program. Thank you.
Thank you. Answer.
Charlie, I'm 100% sure that it's alternatives to incarceration. One of the reasons, the main reason that I ran for county board to begin with was dealing with a mental health board and wanted to see that approved. I was on a committee working to initiate the drug court, knowing that our next step will be that mental health court, and that's where we're going right now. I also rejected, and I very seldom reject studies, but I voted down a study for a new jail, and we're just talking a study, because they refused to add a treatment part, a component to that study. And I will continue to reject that. There's no reason why, if we're going to look at the possibility of ever building a new jail, there's no reason why we should not include that treatment segment to it. Rock County right now has different pods with their jail where they do have that treatment, and that is very, very important. And I embrace alternatives to incarceration. One thing I'm worried about, too, is our jail, our little jail that we have right now, becoming the next Winnebago. Everybody is able to buy themselves out. Everybody who can function can pay for the GPS if they're qualified to do so. But if you cannot function enough to pay for it, you sit there in jail. So I'm curious as to why we're doing that right now. Why are we paying $50 a day to keep that person in jail when we as a county could then be paying $17 a day to put them on GPS if they're qualified to do that? Right now, people are buying themselves out, and our jail is going to become the next Winnebago, and that really does concern me. I've been working with the DA's office. I chaired Fox City's Advisory Council, where we brought in first-time offenders, and we worked with them as to keeping them out of the judicial system, and that made a big difference, too, on saving money. But we can save a lot of dollars through alternatives and incarceration, and I'm the person that's going to help with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Marston?
Well, I understand that this is a very serious situation. However, one thing that I want to make clear to you, that a county executive, one thing a county executive needs, and that's a sense of humor, you better have it. It says, statistics say here that one in four people has a mental health disorder, and I'm looking around and trying to pick you up. It's kind of a difficult task. But absolutely imperative that we do more with less. There are all kinds of programs. The federal government has a list of programs. The state government has a list of programs. And then the county chooses to have their own. And so many of these programs overlap one another. We have to take advantage of the private sector in regards to this area. There are churches. There are other community organizations, the civic organizations, the Kiwanis Club, the Rotary. All of those people are interested in helping if they understand what the problem is and what the need is. There's been an excellent volunteer program at our jails in order to work with prisoners into the system. And I believe that if we're going to make this thing work with the limited amount of money we have to take advantage of those volunteers and also to consolidate some of those programs so that we're not providing additional people working on the very same issue. And there's been a lot of that going on, and that can be corrected.
Thank you. Tom Nelson?
I think in order to answer that question, I think you have to ask yourself, how did we get to this position where you have a statistic, 45% have mental health disorder, but also why there are so many untreated mental health disorders in our country, in our society. I think a big reason why for too long, we've had a problem with insurance companies, that they refuse to treat a mental health disorder the same reason, in the same way that you have a physical ailment. One of my proudest accomplishments in my 6 years in the Assembly was passing for the first time, and it took the legislature 12 years to do this, was to pass the mental health parity law. What this law will do is it will force insurance companies to cover not just physical ailments, but mental health disorders. And I think the reason why we have this problem, I think the reason why this question was asked, is for too long, those cases, those type of disorders have been neglected. I think that we are just beginning to reap the fruits of the labor of that legislation, because looking 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, it's my hope that we're not going to have the statistic. And a big reason why we're not going to have the statistic is because we will have revolutionized the approach that insurance companies take to these type of disorders. Now, that's 5 or 10 years down the road. What are we doing right now? We know that there are a lot of problems. We know that in this current administration, Madison, that they're talking about, in some cases, to opt out of the current Medicaid program. Now, in addition to putting 1 million people not having access to health care, the other problems that this would have would be one more obstacle to prevent Outagamie County from making sure that we receive our fair share of state dollars. That's important because those dollars don't come from Madison and Dane County. It starts right here in Outagamie County. So the next county executive has to fight tooth and nail to make sure we get our fair share of those resources so that we can continue to serve these individuals that have these problems.
Thank you. We'll now offer each of our candidates an opportunity for a closing statement, and we'll start with Jack Voigt.
Again, thank you for attending this forum, and I think it's very informative. And again, a week from tomorrow night, there will be a decision made on the primary for this election of this position. All my life I've been challenged from the very beginning, but this is a new challenge for me. That's the reason why I'm running for this job, because I think I have the ability and the proven track record in business and public service to represent your interests for this county for the next 4 years. I look at this as an opportunity to create new opportunities for everyone. I like to say, as Ann says, we need to brand our county. I like to say, Audigame County is open for business, and also it's a county that is willing to work with people. And I appreciate your support at the polls in another 7 days. Thank you.
Thank you. Charles Kramer?
I want to apologize to Ann's girl. I guess I stole some of your thunder and a couple of your questions, but I think what that tells you something is we're both county board members. We both understand county government pretty good, what's going on in our county government right now. Sorry, Ann. But anyway, I actually think that I'm probably the best candidate for next county executive, and that's because I have the most conservative voting record of all the candidates up here. And I think it's going to be important. There's going to be some major cuts coming, some major decisions made. Thank you.
Thank you. Answer.
Well, I'm not here because a job opportunity is presenting itself. I've proven that. I've served on the county board. I've proven my interest in the county. I've taken my time. I've taken almost 8 years of learning county business and how it works, the intricacies of the budget, and that's very important to this. There's a lot to learn. County business is different from state business. It's different from federal. It's county. And we need somebody in there right now who's going to know what to do, who's going to be able to just start out running right away. And I think that's very important at this point when we have a very difficult budget coming up, somebody that can work with the other board members. And I am that person. I've built a solid foundation over the past 8 years working with the county board. I truly, truly am nonpartisan, and I intend to serve the people and not the party. I'm your candidate, and I will serve you.
Thank you. Mike Marsden?
Well, I know I have the ability to do the job. That's not a question. As chairman of the town of Grand Chute, I was a part-time town chairman. Part-time meant doing whatever necessary to get the job done. It meant meeting with property owners day and night. It meant attending conferences. It meant meeting with the counties and others. I always took the time to do what was ever necessary to maintain the integrity of our community. I don't think that I would be looking to others to bail us out. I think that there's going to be a trickle-down effect from the federal government, the state government, and we're going to be losing money there. I don't think that we can be pounding on the door looking for it because it's not going to be there. I think where we have to focus in county government if we're going to conserve is we have to take a look at personnel and what we're going to do to curb some of our costs. And that can be done. I'm familiar with contract negotiations. I've done it for 40 years, and I know what it's going to take in order to get this thing back in line if we're going to conserve, and we can do that.
Thank you. Tom Nelson.
Well, I'd like to thank the league. I'd like to thank Project Promise and UW Fox Live for helping sponsor this event. I think it's very appropriate that we're here in this beautiful facility. And the reason why this facility is a testament to our community's values, that over time, we've put our resources, we've put our time, we've put our energy into great things that have made this community such a strong place to live and such a high quality of life. I think the next 4 years is going to be a very tough challenge, that we have to do everything we can to maintain our high quality of life. The job of the county executive is very simple, very straightforward. It's how do we continue to provide high quality services that range from law enforcement, health, human services to infrastructure? How do we provide those key core services, high quality services at the lowest possible price? But before you can do that, you have to have an understanding of the value of our community, that people have made these type of investments from UW Fox to our strong infrastructure system, and that we have to do everything we can to make sure that we continue to make those investments so we have a strong and vibrant community for many generations to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas?
I think the next county executive is going to have a different type of a leadership, and I think I would provide that leadership both with my business background, and I disagree that business perspectives can't be brought into the government. Yes, it's different. Remember when I was early on the county board and had a little less gray hair, I used to say, son, you don't understand. The private sector is not the public sector. My comment now is, how's that been working for me? I really think we need to bring some business practices into the county. Not that it isn't different than the private sector, but I have that ability as a CEO of a company and understanding those perspectives as well as my 14 years on the county board and understanding that. As chairman of finance, we saw every department. I know all the department heads. I met with most of them in preparation for this. I think I'm uniquely qualified to bring that to bear. I'm not so much worried about what our fair share is, because all I know is the pie is going to be shrinking significantly. I think we've been getting our fair share as a county. We have a lobbyist that has made sure of that. I'm more concerned about what we're going to do with the limited resources we have. I want to apply those principles from business into the county to make sure that we survive this, because this is a Category 5 hurricane. It's not going to Texas. It's not going to Florida. It's coming right at us. And it's coming at us very quickly. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you, audience, for your attentiveness this evening. And I'd also understand that you didn't get all your questions addressed this evening, but with so many candidates, please understand we are doing the best we could. I hope you took the opportunity during our break to get your questions answered, and feel free to meet with the candidates afterwards. Just a reminder to please vote on February 14th in the primary, and if you're interested and you enjoyed a forum like this, I'm sorry, 15, I want you to consider joining us in the League of Women Voters. And I want to thank our partners, UW Fox Valley Center, Appleton Public Library, Project Promise, and the League of Women Voters. So thank you all.